This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. Thank you so much for joining us this episode 11 of our series, The Blessed Women Around the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, I'd like to wish you all kullu amun wa antum bi khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in this new year and bless the entire ummah. The year 1440 after Hijrah, walhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us khair and barakah, grant this ummah goodness this coming year, may be better than the previous year. And with every new year, walhamdulillah, we remind ourselves 1440 years ago was the establishment of the Islamic State in Medina, the coming together of the Muhajireen and the Ansar, the Sahaba, under the leadership of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a beautiful moment it was, the first real state and the Muslims coming together as one people. And today, wherever you are in the world listening to this lecture, understand that if you say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are a member of that state. That 1440 years after the formation of that state in Medina, we are an extension of that throughout the world, from Australia all the way to Canada. We are all part of this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And of course, alhamdulillah, we are in the blessed month of Muharram, one of the four sacred months ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before He created the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had ordained that when He made time, that there will be four sacred months of the 12th. And this month, Muharram, is in fact one of the four sacred months. In fact, its name, Muharram, which comes from haram and sanctity, shows us that this month is one of the sacred months where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbid any form of fighting, any form of warfare to be done in these months. And therefore, the sanctity of blood, which is always sacred, is even more sacred in these months. And to harm someone is even more detestable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encourages us to increase in goodness and ibadah in this sacred month. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this is the month of Allah. This is a special month belonging to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that, in fact, there is no month where fasting is more loved by Allah and more rewarded by Allah after Ramadan than the month of Muharram. So to really celebrate this month and to really get the full benefit of this month is for us, myself, I speak firstly, is to increase in fasting and to do as much as we can in terms of ibadah, in particularly fasting. And of course, the most sacred of days in this month is the 10th of Muharram, or Ashura, which is in Cape Town, inshallah, would be next week Thursday, that this is the most sacred day of the month of Muharram. And in fact, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he mentions to us that he never saw the Prophet ﷺ being more eager and more zealous or strict on himself to fast any day outside of Ramadan more than the day of Ashura. And subhanAllah, we know that from the Prophet ﷺ, it's not just the sunnah of Nabi ﷺ to fast on the day of Ashura, it is also the sunnah of Nabi Musa ﷺ, that when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina following the Hijrah and he had found a Jewish community there, he found that they were fasting on the 10th of Muharram. And when he inquired of them why they were fasting, they mentioned that this is the day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had defeated Fir'aun and the people Bani Israel were saved, and that it was a means of shukr, that annually Nabi Musa alayhi salam would fast on this day as a means of thanking Allah. So the Prophet said, of course, Nabi Musa is more beloved to us and he belongs to us more than them, so that we will commemorate this great victory by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will follow the sunnah of Nabi Musa by fasting Ashura, and then also to be slightly different and unique from the Ahlul Kitab, we will fast either a day before or a day after. So you either fast the 9th and Ashura, or Ashura and the 11th, and this is the best, alhamdulillah. And not only is it recommended, I mean, just to fast, to follow the emulation, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the sunnah of Nabi Musa, there's a great reward. The Prophet ﷺ says he hopes that Allah will expiate 1 year of sin, that just by fasting this one day, that everything of sin that we had done from the last Muharram until this Muharram will be forgiven, 1 day of fasting. So it's an opportunity for all of us not to miss out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the strength and the ability to fast this day. Allah grant us to appreciate the full barakah and blessing of this month, walhamdulillah. Getting back to our discussion around our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, in our last meeting we spoke about, you know, the personality of Aisha radiallahu anha, and that she was such a such a, you know, strong-willed, confident, enthusiastic, eager young woman, and that she would be also deeply romantic. And this, subhanAllah, what I love about Aisha radiallahu anha, you can find the most devout, the most sincere, the most pious worship of Allah. At the same time, she's dramatic and she's romantic and she's funny and she's, she speaks her mind. That this is all part of the deen, alhamdulillah. So the Prophet ﷺ understood the nature of his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, and therefore he went through great lengths to please her and all his wives, and we get a deep insight into the relationship because Aisha was not afraid to tell us some of the most intimate details. So we're speaking about the Prophet ﷺ as a husband and how he interacted with her. And we continue. So one beautiful narration that we find in Bukhari and Muslim is that it was the day of Eid. Right? So it's the day of Eid. And on that day, it so happened that a bunch of spear throwers came from Abyssinia, from North Africa. And they came to visit the masjid. And of course, the people of the masjid are quite excited and they wanted to see this exhibition happening in the masjid. It was the day of Eid, so everyone was eager to, you know, it was a bit of entertainment. The Prophet ﷺ understood his young wife Aisha being eager to see as well. She also wanted to enjoy this. Of course, because she is the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, there's this high level of hijab. So he says to her, and again he understood her deeply. So he says to her, would you like to see? Would you like to watch? And of course she says, yes, I also want to see. So the Prophet ﷺ opened the curtain. And remember we said his house was adjacent to the masjid. So he opened the curtain and she stood behind him. And then he opened his cloak so that he was basically shielding her. And then she says, and picture this beautiful moment. She says, I stood up against him with my cheek against his cheek. Our cheeks were pressed together and we were watching the spear throwers. And the Prophet ﷺ was encouraging, you know, from the sidelines. He was saying to the entertainers, carry on, come on, keep going. He was, you know, encouraging them to go on. And Aisha said, after standing for some time, she became tired now. She had enough, but she remained like that. She wanted to see how long he would stand in that position. And he never said to her, Aisha, are you done? Have you had enough? She basically waited to see until she now said, I'm satisfied, alhamdulillah. And then she went inside. Once, another beautiful narration, Aisha says to us that it was a hot day and the Prophet ﷺ was in the house and he was busy fixing his sandal. Now again, subhanAllah, he's the khayru khalqillah, the best of all people, the best of creations of Allah, the most busiest man of the ummah. Yet when he comes home, he sees to his own domestic chores, he's even fixing his own sandals. You know, he didn't even, not let alone asking someone to do it for him, he asked, you know, not even his wives, he did it himself. And he wasn't very good, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at stitching. So he's busy there and he's stitching and he's struggling and he's concentrating, and because it's hot, he's perspiring. So his head is covered, his forehead is covered in sweat, and Aisha is looking at him, just staring at him, and you know, she's, the love inside of her is welling up. She's just in awe of him. And you know, when you stare at someone long enough, that person begins to feel, you know, this person is looking at me. So the Prophet ﷺ notices her and he asks her, like, what's up, Aisha? Why are you looking at me? Are you like laughing at me because I'm struggling to do the stitching? Because she has this big smile on her face. And she says, Wallahi, Ya Rasulullah, if Abu Bukhair al-Haythami, the poet, Abu Bukhair al-Hudali, the poet, if he knew and he saw you like this, he would know that his poem that he wrote was for you. Also, side note, it shows you that our Aisha radiallahu anha, she's a highly educated woman. She knows poetry. In fact, it would appear that the Prophet ﷺ himself didn't know this poem because he asks her, well, what did he say? What poem did he say? So she says, you know, the poet says, Abu Bukhair, he said that the moon is so brilliant. When you look at it, it's light, you know, brightens up even the darkest of nights. And if he actually saw you, he would have made that poem about you and not the moon. So the Prophet ﷺ is deeply moved. He's obviously, you know, he feels so in love with her. He gets up and he comes towards her and he kisses her. And so then he says to her, you know what, Aisha, you are even more to me than that. That's how I feel towards you. We find this beautiful, long, one of the longest hadiths you find. It's called the hadith of the story of Abu Zar. Abu Zar is a fictitious character. He doesn't exist. He's not the famous Sahabi Abu Zar al-Ghifari. This is an Abu Zar. He's a made up person. So Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet ﷺ comes home to her and they spend time in discussion and she says to the Prophet ﷺ, do you know the story of Abu Zar? So the Prophet ﷺ says, no, I don't know the story. Can you tell me the story of Abu Zar? And again, as I said, this is a long hadith. It's so long. The story is so long. I won't be able to narrate to you the whole story because time is of essence. The Prophet ﷺ was even busier than we were, but he takes time and he sits patiently listening to the story. So what is the story about? So Aisha says, Ya Rasulullah, let me tell you the story of Abu Zar. It so happened that 11 women got together. It's a girls' night out. 11 women finally, you know, they get an opportunity to get together and it's a girls' night out. And so now that they're alone, the 11 women, they agree. They said, girls, today we're going to gossip. And we're going to tell everything about our husbands. We're going to leave nothing unturned. Today there's nothing taboo. Everyone is going to speak the secrets of their husbands. So they agree. So one by one they start unpacking about their husband. One wife says, my husband is like a lean, skinny, sickly camel on top of a high mountain. He has very little benefit, and that little benefit, it takes great amount of effort to get to him. So he's completely useless. Another woman says, you know, my husband is so sickly and weak. Every single ailment that you can think of, he has it. And if they discover new ailments, he will have that as well. Another woman says that, you know, my husband, he only thinks of himself. He eats and leaves nothing for me to eat. He drinks and he leaves nothing for me to drink. When he sleeps, he only worries about, you know, he covers himself in a blanket, nothing for me. So the women are complaining about their husbands. One woman says, you know, my husband is like a lion outside. When he goes outside, everyone is scared of him. No one bothers him. When he comes home, he's a meek, mild kitten. I'm in control. So some women are mentioning that their husbands are good. One woman says, let me not start mentioning the faults of my husband because we're going to spend the whole evening talking about him. We won't be able to stop. Some women mention how good their husbands are. But the 11th woman, the last woman, her name is Zar. She was married to a man called Abu Zar. So she says, as for the husbands that you've mentioned, my ex-husband Abu Zar was the best of all. For Abu Zar, this man Abu Zar, he found me. I was a poor girl, basically the daughter of a shepherd, and he came from a high class family, and he took me and he entered me into this amazing house, and he made my arms and legs and ears heavy with jewelry. And he gave me anything I asked. He never said no. And I could spend the entire morning sleeping. He never woke me up to do any chores. And I ate to my full and I drank to my full. And it even mentions, she says, even his mother was a wonderful woman. So subhanAllah, even 1,400 years ago, the things that women want to make them happy are the same as the women today. Well, alhamdulillah. So she said, even my mother-in-law was fantastic. And we had a son, Zar, and he was a lovely son, and we had a daughter. And we lived, I couldn't be happier than I was. And then unfortunately, Abu Zar, he fell in love with another woman, and he married this woman. And then I got divorced. And then another man married me. And this man is a good man. And he gives me, you know, anything I want. You know, he gives me two of anything I want. But even if I were to gather all the things he gave me, it will not come close to filling one container that Abu Zar gave me. And she basically longs for this Abu Zar, that her heart belongs to him. So Aisha tells the story to the Prophet ﷺ, again a fictitious story. And the Prophet ﷺ then goes to Aisha and he says, oh Aisha, do you feel for me the way do I make you as happy as Abu Zar made Zar? So Aisha says, no, you make me even happier than that. You are more to me than Abu Zar is to Zar. The Prophet ﷺ would go to great lengths to please his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. Not even just in terms of giving his time, giving of what he could to please her, even in matters of the deen, subhanAllah. Now remember, the Prophet ﷺ, his ultimate job is to teach the Sharia. And his ultimate job is to lead his community in the obedience of Allah, in the worship of Allah. We find this amazing story that towards the end of his life, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed one pilgrimage, one major pilgrimage, once he had completed his mission and basically all of Arabia had embraced Islam. 100,000 people, 100,000 Muslimin of his followers had come with him to perform Hajj. So now imagine this scene, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the head of this pilgrimage with the Sahaba behind him, all of his wives were with him. So they come in Ihram to Mecca. When they get to Mecca, the Prophet ﷺ tells the Sahaba, go and perform an Umrah, perform Tawaf and Sa'i, and then you exit your Ihram as we do as Hujjaj, and then a few days later when Hajj begins, we'll re-enter Ihram and we'll do our Hajj again. So everyone goes ahead and does that. He comes to Aisha's house and he finds her in tears, she's crying. So he says, Ya Hanta, meaning, Oh, sweetie pie, pretty lady, what's wrong? Why are you crying? So she says, I am unable to perform my umrah. Why? Because I'm in my menses. And once a lady in her haid, this is a fiqh ruling, a lady who's in her haid cannot perform tawaf. So she's unable to perform her umrah. So the Prophet ﷺ consoles her and says, you know, my love, don't worry about it. This is the nature of a woman. This is how Allah had created the daughters of Adam ﷺ. And it's not your fault. In fact, you will still get the full reward. This is not your fault. So Allah is going to give you the full reward. You just perform the Hajj and you'll get the reward for Umrah without even doing it. So she says, okay. You know, she accepts it. She performs the Hajj. She becomes clean and she performs the Hajj. Now they're on their way back. Khalas, Hajj is finished. 100,000 people, they're about to leave Makkah and go back to Medina. Just before they leave, the Prophet visits Aisha. He finds her crying again. Ya Hanta, oh my love, why are you crying? So she says, how is it? I can't stand it that everyone has a Hajj and a Umrah, and I only have a Hajj. I don't have an Umrah. I'm really sad. So of course, Aisha, but you're going to get the reward. No, I really, really want an Umrah as well. So the Prophet says, no problem. He calls her brother Abdurrahman, and he says to her brother, Ya Abdurrahman, take your sister Aisha, just a little bit outside of Mecca, let her put on enter into a new ihram, let her come in and perform an umrah, and then we can leave together. And the entire delegation, 100,000 people, we will wait until you are done. The entire ummah is waiting, so Aisha can perform this extra umrah, just to please her heart. And subhanallah, because of that, today we have a Masjid Aisha. If you've been to Mecca, you will know that there's a masjid called Masjid Aisha or Tanaim, that if you're in Mecca, you performed an umrah, you'd like to perform another one, you don't have to go all the way out of Mecca to the miqat, you just go about 10 kilometers from the haram, you enter into ihram there, and you can re-enter and perform another umrah because of our mother Aisha. The Prophet ﷺ went to such great lengths just to please her. Even the best of couples, and even the best of husbands, and even if you are Rasulullah ﷺ, it doesn't mean that you will always be in the best of books with your wife. So even the Prophet ﷺ and his wives, and we'll find some domestic disputes between even the best of people, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and his wives. And the Prophet ﷺ says to Aisha radiallahu anha, in a hadith in Bukhari, he says to her, you know Aisha, indeed I know exactly when you're angry with me and when you're pleased with me. I know when you cross and I know when you're happy. So she says, and she's obviously in a good mood, she's smiling. She says, how do you know that? What gives me away? So he says to her, you know, when you are happy with me, when I'm in your good books, and you want to say something, you will say, I swear by the Lord of Muhammad. I swear by Allah, but she says, I swear by the Lord of Muhammad. But when you are upset with me, you're not so happy with me, you will say, I swear by the Lord of Ibrahim. So now Aisha realizes that's true, that her husband actually noticed this in her. So she smiles and she says, Ya Rasulullah, don't be upset with me. I only left your name. I didn't really leave you. I just said Ibrahim instead of Muhammad. I just left your name. Right, subhanAllah. What a, you know, even in that moment of being upset, the Prophet ﷺ understood and he witnessed these slight nuances in his wives. We have this other beautiful hadith that in Musnad Ibn Ahmad, the Prophet ﷺ and Aisha, they had some domestic dispute, as even the best of people. And subhanAllah, the Prophet says to Aisha, okay Aisha, if you are upset with me, who will make you happy? Let's call your father Abu Bakr to mediate, to be the referee between us. Will that make you happy? So she said, yes, I'm happy with Abu Bakr. Right, it's my father. So the Prophet calls Abu Bakr, and he comes and he says, look, okay, so what's the issue? The Prophet asks Aisha, would you like to speak first? She says, okay, and she begins to raise her voice, she begins to speak loudly. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, remember he's her father, he becomes upset, he becomes offended, and he gets up and he wants to reprimand her, and he says, oh daughter of Umruman is his wife, he doesn't say, oh daughter of Abu Bakr, he says, oh daughter of Umruman, why are you speaking loudly to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And he actually comes to her because he wants to hit her, reprimand her, and the Prophet jumps up in between them. And he says to Abu Bakr, we didn't bring you here for this. I didn't bring you here to hit her. So Abu Bakr leaves. Now the Prophet looks at her and he says to Aisha, do you see how I saved you from him? Allahu Akbar, ya salam. Can you imagine what this did to Aisha? Right? Khalas, the argument is finished. You know, she became putty in his hands. So a few minutes later, whatever they were arguing was for whatever upset Aisha was gone. And they were laughing and they were smiling with one another again. And they were laughing so loud that Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu could hear them laughing outside. So he knocks on the door again and he says, please let me come in and be part of your peace, be part of your happiness. as you made me part of your dispute. So this is, you know, just a glimpse into the life of the Prophet ﷺ and his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. We'll continue, inshallah, on this topic, some more narrations about the Prophet ﷺ and his relationship with Aisha. Once again, I wish all of you a blessed Muharram and New Year. For those of you who would like to support us in our Muharram March this Sunday at Burhan al-Islam, please email me directly, wismuhammad@gmail.com. If you'd like to support for our kids going around and experiencing the culture and the history of how Islam came here to this country, to Cape Town 300 years ago, please email me directly. And you can, any comments or concerns, please feel free to message us directly. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.